The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up on Decision Day times two in Green Bay. What does Devontae do? And what does it mean for the Aaron era? We're on it. Then, Dax Dollars in Dallas. Why the QB's contract is about to change everything for the Cowboys. And James and Joel. Can anything stop the Sixers as they begin the biggest week of their year? All that more. We're getting up with you starting right now. I'm back at Better Than Ever on this Tuesday. Delighted that you were there. Delighted they are here. Graziano's got the insight on Decision Day. Legler's got all kinds of highlights to get to. And that's not all. Ninkovich has gotten up with us early this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, please join me in wishing a very happy birthday to our brother, Marcus Spears. Happy birthday.
Let's go. Let's go.
Thank you, my guys. Thank you. 39
years young. Every year, it seems. Okay, here we go. Before we do anything else, can you believe this happened last night? Chattanooga, Furman, for a bid to the tournament in overtime, tied at 61 with 8 seconds remaining. Furman's Mike Bothwell to the cup. Up and good. Furman's up two with 4 seconds left. Chattanooga's got a timeout. They won't use it. Here's what happened.
Jean-Baptiste with one. Heaves it for the win. Oh! Chattanooga with a game-winning shot in overtime. And a shot he will never forget.
The madness of March is upon us. David Jean-Baptiste is the young man who knocks in that three. It's not even a heave. It's a jumper. With three bodies on him to send his team to the NCAA tournament. That's why there is nothing better than the madness of March. Chattanooga goes on, Furman devastated. Again, the craziness is here. In the final 2.5 minutes of overtime of this game, by the way, the teams did not miss a shot. They combined for 20 points, and the hero, Baptiste, was 1 of 8 from three before that final span, but he made 2 shots, including the game winner. We'll have plenty of basketball conversation with Legs in just a minute here as we get to the NBA. But we start in the NFL, where we are counting it down now to the franchise tag deadline. That's in 8 hours, 4 p.m. Eastern this afternoon. And the big question is, when will Aaron Rodgers make his decision about his future in Green Bay? And will the Packers tag Devontae Adams today? And assuming that they do, what impact does that have on Rodgers and his decision? Graziano, I start with you on that. Is it at all a surprise that here we are? We've had this day circled for quite some time, and we don't know anything about Adams yet, and we don't know anything about Rodgers yet.
Is it a surprise that we don't know? No, it's the Aaron Rodgers saga. What would surprise us at this point? We know it's going to be drawn out. Look, here's what he did mention, Rodgers, a couple weeks ago on McAfee's show, that today would matter, right? Because it's the deadline for them to franchise Devontae Adams. I expect that they will, unless there's some kind of last-minute deal they can do, a long-term deal to avoid that. They're about $25, $26 million over the cap. Tagging Adams will add $20 million to that. So then they'll have, you know, $45, $46. Restructuring Rodgers will knock another $21 off. A big reason this matters is Rodgers wants to know, if he comes back, what kind of team he's going to be on. And if they have to cut too many guys for them to be a competitive team, that's a factor in his decision. So that's why he has said he's waiting to see what happens with Adams and some of these other situations. So could we get an answer from Rodgers today? Sure.
401?
Could we have to wait another week? Entirely possible.
Swagoo, let me come to you on your birthday here, my friend. The idea that Adams and Rodgers haven't spoken to each other seems ludicrous, right?
I mean,
they obviously have some idea what each other is going to do. So on this deadline day for the franchise tag, Swagoo, where do we stand as far as you're concerned on Rodgers?
Listen, everything is predicated on it, G. Like, I know people have tried to detach these situations. They run consecutively, congruently. They, whatever the word is, they run right alongside of each other. Here's the thing. We knew the Green Bay Packers was going to tag Devontae Adams before the season started if they didn't have a long-term deal done. I want to know what's going to happen once the Green Bay Packers put a tag on Devontae Adams. And if Aaron Rodgers says he wants out, does Devontae Adams come in the office and say, I want out too? These issues run together. Like, everybody is trying to separate them. You cannot. And Gutekunst talking about, well, the Devontae Adams situation doesn't have an impact on Aaron Rodgers and vice versa. Yeah, it does. We talking about one of the most prolific tandems in the NFL over the last 5 years. You don't think Devontae Adams, regardless of if they put a franchise tag on him, is going to have something to say about it depending on the decision that Aaron Rodgers makes? That's why guys have been on this show and other shows talking about it would help if Aaron Rodgers would let the Green Bay Packers know what they are doing, and it would also help Devontae Adams long-term-wise determine what he's doing. Now, I know we under the assumption that these guys have had a conversation and Devontae Adams knows what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. But do y'all think anybody really knows what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, regardless of how good your friendship is? I'm just waiting to see. But these things are tied together. That, let's get that out of the way right now.
I think that's clearly 100% right. I will admit to being surprised, Ninko, as I come to you. I thought that by this moment in time, when Rodgers said, I'm not going to drag this thing out, this felt like a deadline to me. I get that the league year, you know, the legal tampering starts next Monday. But yeah. I really felt like by today at 4 o'clock, we would know.
But you're surprised, but you're not unhappy about it.
I mean, no, I'm delighted by it. Yeah. The talk show host in me is delighted by it. The rest of me is it wants to yell, well, we're young here, Aaron. Go ahead, Ninko, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think what Green Bay needs to do, they need to get out in front of this thing and make everyone out there understand that Aaron Rodgers has an option here with one of the highest paid contracts in the NFL for the quarterback position. And they already said that it is a position altering contract that they probably are floating out there to him. What that will do is take the pressure off the Packers so the fan base and everybody in the area understands that they are doing everything in their power to bring back Aaron Rodgers. Now it's up to Aaron Rodgers to make that decision on if he wants to be a Packer or not, because that decision will affect their offseason moves. Because I can guarantee this, if Aaron Rodgers is not there, it's going to be harder to go out and get a receiver or harder to go get a guy in a one-year-only contract to say, hey, I want to go play for Aaron Rodgers. I want to go to a team that has a chance to make the playoffs. If Aaron Rodgers is not there, that changes the whole outlook on that team, on that roster, especially that cap and everything that they're doing with Adams. So Aaron Rodgers has to decide what he wants to do. He has to do it quickly because it puts the Green Bay Packers in a tough spot. If he's wishy-washy, he doesn't know what he wants to do. So he needs to make a decision, and the Green Bay Packers need to get out in front of this thing. Make it public. Hey, we're offering him 4 years, $500 million, whatever it takes, so everyone understands that it's Aaron Rodgers' choice and not the Green Bay Packers.
But he's making my point for me, Dan. He already hasn't gotten out in front of it. He's already letting it drag on. The idea of not letting it drag on would be having this thing completely signed, sealed, and delivered by the time teams can start talking to other teams and making all these decisions. The Packers have to get under the salary cap, as you just pointed out. Whatever else happens come Sunday, it would be awfully nice for them to know exactly what they're doing as far as their two most expensive players.
They have to be under the cap by 4 o'clock Eastern time next Wednesday, the 16th, official start of the league year. So Monday is when the legal tampering starts and all that. But you'd like to have some idea, right? You don't want to be out there trying to sign guys and not knowing how much cap room you have. To Ninko's point, the Packers have been trying to do everything they possibly can to let the world know it's not us. We want him back. They rehired his old quarterback coach out of retirement. They have definitely made it clear that they want him back and would do what they need to do with the contract, his and others. They're just waiting to find out.
So what you're saying is the Packers are doing the opposite. You know, when they say it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
They're basically saying it's not us, it's him.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Because if he leaves, I think that's going to be very important for the Green Bay Packers to let their fan base know it was entirely his decision.
Yeah, Swagoo, final word.
I'm trying to figure out what else they need to do. Okay, let me give you this analogy, guys.
Yeah.
If Ninko, if you invited me to your house, okay, and I came to your house and took a hammer to it and tore every damn thing up, and you went out and bought a new house, and you called me and said, you're welcome to come to the new house. I know you want me at that point, Nico. Like, I don't understand. Green Bay has already gotten out in front of it. When they got Randall Cobb, they got out in front of it. When they restructured the contract, they got out in front of it. When he blazed them in their own damn media room on the facility, on facility grounds, they did not get mad. They said, you are the man. We've seen Matt LaFleur damn near in tears trying to get Aaron Rodgers to come back. I don't know what else they can do. And we know they're giving them all the money in the world to come back.
That's extremely well said. So we will wait and see. The clock is tick, tick, ticking away. Meantime, Legler is here for Basketball Conversation. Let me jump to that game of the night, Timmy Legler. And just how good are these guys together? And I mean those two, Joel and James. It starts with Harden here. Watch him dancing with the basketball.
Look at this. Pitter-pat, get you rocking, and then he's the dual threat. He's either going to blow by you if you get up on your toes, you stay back on your heels, he shoots a step back.
How about this pass?
He delivers the ball at exactly the time you could do something with it. I think it's an understated skill that James Harden has, the timing of his delivery.
Look at the teamwork here between these two.
And look where he jumps from on this. Joel Embiid catches the ball beyond the restricted area, doesn't dribble the basketball, and finishes it easily, really.
Harden had 16 points and 14 assists. And here's a little more from Embiid working inside. He finished, Tim, with 43 points and 14 rebounds. More Embiid here.
This is just bully ball. You feel sorry right there for Tristan Thompson on the island with a guy this big, this powerful. Joel Embiid had a couple of games by his standards this year, mediocre. Comes back last night in a huge way.
Matisse Thybulle also getting into the action. He had 12 points to go along with, again, the big numbers from Harden and the monster numbers from Embiid. And the Sixers go on and win a big game against a good team in the Bulls, 121-106. And Harden's impact on the Sixers is starting to grow as the sample size grows. In five games of the two of them together on the floor, the Sixers are perfect 5-0. They're scoring 125 points a game. For reference, the Timberwolves lead the league in per game scoring at under 115 points. So let's start with the MVP favorite in Joel Embiid. Again, he and Nikola Jokic, for you're not paying attention, are sort of going back and forth on anything you can do, I can do better on those things. But Embiid, as far as the impact that Harden has had on him since he got there, what can we say?
And last night, I call it pounding the gavel. It's that time of year. Make your case and drop it. And he did it again last night. And like I said, he was just okay the two previous games. He rebounded in a huge way against Chicago. I think what James Harden does, he just facilitates the game for a guy that's already been the most dominant offensive player in the league this season. He makes it actually easier for Joel Embiid because he takes on a lot of the responsibility of drawing multiple guys. And so when you get it, you've got less traffic to deal with. That's what James Harden really does. The thing that stood out to me last night, his stat line, I mean Harden's, Ben Simmons had a ton of those type of stat lines, 16, 8, and 14. Ben Simmons, that sounds like one of his nights.
Right.
Didn't feel like a Ben Simmons night because James Harden's controlling the entire game, possession by possession, because of the threat that he is and the amount of attention he is drawing because of the fear that at any point he could string together 10 or 12 points. So now you just overload to him. Joel Embiid's getting these plays spoon-fed to him. He hasn't never had that. And then the other guys, if they make enough three-point shots of those role players, which they did last night, Philadelphia, I mean, ceiling is the highest for me with this team.
That is the point, because you get that. You get sometimes he has these nights, but then sometimes when you need him to go for 39, he can do it in the blink of an eye as well. Meanwhile, do we want to hear the Harden sound? Because, of course, this Thursday is the matchup when the Nets come to town to Philadelphia. Ben Simmons will not play. Harden obviously will. He was asked about the matchup. Here's what he said.
I'm not nervous. It's basketball. I put the work in to go out there and just play my game and live with the results. Every game is a big game for us. We're fairly new. We got championship aspirations, and so every game is a learning process for us, no matter who we're playing. Brooklyn is going to be a tough challenge, but that's no different than, tonight's Chicago Bulls team.
Well, he says it's not different. I mean, it's going to feel a little different, I think, to those of us on the outside. How different is
goodness.
This night?
It feels different for me. I'm not even involved. But, just living in that area, the vibe and what they're going to unleash. And they're saying that Ben Simmons might be there.
Yeah.
And sitting on the bench. I think that's the biggest mistake in the world. Either play, all right, or don't go. whenever you go to Wells Fargo for the first time, be ready to play, because what you're going to do sitting on that bench and what you're going to be is going to be unleashed upon you is not helpful to your team in any way, because you're not on the court actually maybe making some plays to offset all that. Okay, so right. Don't show up. I don't know why you would want to do something like that, but the vibe, what we're going to find out is whether he plays or not, how much these two teams genuinely dislike each other. And there are so many plot lines where the dislike could fester. And that's what I want to see, because I think Greeny, the day that trade went down, this became the best rivalry in the NBA, and they hadn't even played yet.
Right.
Because the league doesn't really have great rivalries anymore. This on paper could be. We're praying we get this in the playoffs as a seven-game series. I know you'd love to talk about it. I'd love to cover it.
Sure.
We don't know that, but I do know this. We're going to find out. How does Philly guard Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? That's an important part, but we're not going to see Ben Simmons out there defensively to guard a guy like James Harden. That's the final component we're going to need to see before we know how good the Nets are.
All right, stay close by. I want to do more on that as we continue. Plus, we got to get to LeBron and the Lakers. Plus, plenty more on the college. Legs is here all morning long. Plus, Dak is doing the Cowboys a solid. Why a sacrifice on his part could pay big dividends in Big D. We'll talk about it. And more from the NFL. Huge story. Calvin Ridley suspended for gambling involving his own team. Did the punishment fit the crime? We'll talk about it right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We'd like to make sure everyone knows that the Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. If you would like to help, support, and donate, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. Back to our sports news of this day. The Dallas Cowboys are currently $21 million over the salary cap and could look vastly different this coming year. On defense, Randy Gregory is a free agent to be. DeMarcus Lawrence has a $27 million cap hit. He was asked to take a pay cut and reportedly declined, so we could see some action there. On the offensive side, receivers that are up in the air include Amari Cooper, who's likely to be cut, which would save $16 million, as well as Michael Gallup, who is a free agent, so we'll see what his future looks like. And a place where they would probably save a bunch of that money is Dak Prescott, who currently has a $34 million cap hit. But we can and do expect that his contract will be restructured. And as I bring Graziano back into the conversation, you were making the point this morning. Remember back to when we were talking endlessly about the deal that Dak did get, didn't get. Why is it taking so long? This is what the Cowboys were waiting for.
Right. I feel like for months we said the issue is not the money, it's the term. Dak wants the shorter-term deal. The team wants the longer-term deal. The reason the team wants the longer-term deal is because it gives you more room to spread out your cap hit on your bonus. Basically, if you have a signing bonus, you have to pay it all at once, but you can account for it on the cap in pieces up to 5 years. So restructuring this year means they'll take some of his salary, they'll convert it to a signing bonus, and then for cap purposes, they can spread out the cap hit from that bonus over the next 5 years. If there were only 3 years left on the contract, they would have to compress that and then spread it out over 3 years. So It has no impact on Dak. I heard you say sacrifice. He's not a sacrifice.
Correct.
Dak actually gets all his money sooner.
Right.
It makes no difference to his compensation, but it helps the team, and that's why they want. That's why they put those two void years on the end of what was announced as a four-year contract.
That's exactly right. So, again, it costs him nothing. It saves the Cowboys some money. It was always structured to be that way. That said, we just ran through the litany of things that will likely happen here. Marcus, the Cowboys next year, are they going to be better or worse on paper than they were this year?
I think they'll be worse on paper, G, and it's because you don't know what the moves will be this offseason. Listen, Amari Cooper didn't have $20 million production, but Amari Cooper is a hell of a wide receiver and can still play at a high level. I know CeeDee Lamb is there and Gallup coming off of an injury. They like Cedric Wilson. They got to get Dalton Schultz done too. They may tag him. He was a big part of what they did from an offensive standpoint. And then defensively, like, I don't want people to forget how big Randy Gregory was this particular season for the Dallas Cowboys. DeMarcus Lawrence, $27 million, as you see it there. And this O-line, like, they have to figure out how to get this O-line back to where they was. And the philosophy for the Cowboys has to change as well. If you guys remember, they built this team in order to run the football and be physical up front. Now it's transitioning to a passing game. And Tyron Smith deals with a lot of injuries throughout the season. Connor Williams didn't have a lot of success in pass pro in critical times during the game. Obviously, you want to try to upgrade and make depth at all of those positions. The Cowboys got a lot of work to do. It ain't as simple as going into the season saying they favorites and contenders. I got to see what they do and what type of moves they make in this offseason.
Yeah, Minka, what do you think? We've talked so much about the coaching in Dallas. Now here we get to the roster, and this is where the big decisions will get made. How do you see it?
First of all, restructure me. Come on now. Look, when you're a player and they say, hey, we want to restructure, you're like, yes, restructure. I want that money now.
Give
it to me
early.
Now instead of making $20 million. Yes, I don't want this full season in front of me. I want, oh, yeah, okay, you're going to give me $10 million bucks right now, tomorrow? Give me a check? Okay, and then I'll make 10 for the year? Oh, great, and we'll spread this cap out, give me more weapons? Listen, they need to build through the draft. You can't go out there and buy all these expensive pieces and expect that you can keep them for 3 to 4 to 5 years. If you look back, most of the successful teams that have won Super Bowls, they have quarterbacks that are on the rookie deal. You look at Mahomes and Kansas City and what they did when he was a young player, and then they were able to spend and spread it out. Well, guess what? Same thing with Seattle. You had Russell Wilson on a rookie contract. Then you paid everybody on defense. You paid your quarterback a ton of money, and guess what? You had to cut a bunch of guys. So when you have a high-priced quarterback, $40, $50 million, you're going to have to cut some other pieces. So they're going to have to build through the draft and hope that they can go get another type Micah Parsons. You can't find Michael Parsons. They don't just grow on trees and go say, hey, I'm going to go get this guy. But in a couple years, Michael Parsons is going to want to get paid too now. So they need to figure this out, because Michael Parsons, a rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, he's going to be good for the next multiple years to come. He's going to want to get paid in the next 2 to 3 years.
And I just want to say, Marcus, on your birthday, the fact that you can make the bottom half of your face do that, I think, is just fantastic. I love the way it moves without any obvious assistance. We will see what the Cowboys wind up doing. Again, Dak will restructure the deal at no cost to himself. It was an obvious move from the very beginning. As we continue, this one was not obvious.
We got to talk about that name.
Calvin Ridley suspended for gambling. Is the punishment too harsh, or is it exactly what the NFL needed to do? We will dive into that coming up. Plus, two nights after his best game of the year, LeBron dealing with a significant injury. Are the Lakers' playoff chances in real jeopardy? Jalen Rose on the way. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Good morning again. Time for your wake-up call. Chattanooga WFLI Radio, the madness of March. Enjoy.
With 4.3 seconds left, David Jean Baptiste drives, goes up, three-pointer on the way. Got it! He hit it! David Jean Baptiste, three at the buzzer. Bucks win it!
That, to be clear, was in overtime, and it put Chattanooga into the NCAA tournament. And Legs, when we watched it at the beginning of the show, you were losing your mind over there.
If you're going to lose in that fashion, at least lose to a guy named Jean Baptiste. Yeah. It's just, you know, it sounds sexy. But here's what I'm thinking. All right, a guy makes a layup. They have a timeout. They don't take it. Watch the head coach as his player is coming up the floor. We're going to show him in a second. Now, he's near half court. He starts running down the sideline. He goes on the court. He's trying to call timeout and then starts clapping immediately. No, that's what I wanted, actually. And listen, if I'm the Furman coach, I understand what these guys are feeling right now. If I'm the Furman coach right now, there is no sedative strong enough. There is no IPA with enough alcohol content to get me to sleep after that game. Because you're that close. In these conferences, I remember in my senior year at LaSalle, we go 16-0 in the league. We're going to play Fordham in the conference championship game. And we beat everybody by 20 a night in the league that year. I've never been more nervous for a game in my life because the league wasn't good enough to know we were automatically going to get in if we lost that game, despite going 16-0 in the league. So I know, like, some of these mid-majors and smaller conferences, the pressure to finish the deal when you get into this moment. What an incredible shot, because he didn't heave it. He shot a jump shot.
He had three people on him, essentially.
Yeah. Nothing but twine.
That's why the end. That's why we say the madness of March. It's the best. David Jean Baptiste shooting Chattanooga into the NCAA tournament. All right, wanted to give you another moment on that. Meanwhile, we get to the Lakers here, who last night took on the Spurs without LeBron James, who was dealing with what they describe as significant soreness in his knee after his monster 56-point performance on Saturday night against Golden State. And the Lakers lose this one, 117-110. And so, you know, we waxed rhapsodic about LeBron on Sunday morning, as well we should, but the reality is that's the only game they've won since the All-Star break. They needed 56 from LeBron to do it, so now they have to shut him down, or at least for this game. What do you think about the LeBron of it all right now in LA, Jay Will?
You know, the last time LeBron James took 31 shots and had 13 free throw attempts, he was 30 years old.
Yeah.
He was so
it's 37 now.
You need LeBron James to do that, right? And you take LeBron James off the court Legs, and now you're seeing what Russell Westbrook has to do. There's nothing that makes me believe that this team can all of a sudden get over the hump. They're five games behind eighth place, and the Pelicans are one game behind them for 10th. So, like, I think the probability is higher for the Lakers not to make the play-in tournament, more so than I think to actually go deep in the playoffs.
And so what does it mean, Legs? How do they handle LeBron? I've heard Big Perk talk about whether or not you need to get him rest, shut him down, whatever it is. What do they do?
I just don't understand the logic behind shutting him down. Resting for what? He's at the stage of his career. If you have LeBron James on your team, he's running out of postseasons. He's only got a few left, and he's going to be gone from the league. So if you've got him on your roster, you might want to rest him in the moment, because he literally can't walk after taking 31 shots, taking 11 threes, doing everything he could to carry them to a win on Saturday. Yeah, maybe he needs, out of necessity, the next game off, but shutting him down or arresting him, how does that buy him anything for next year? It doesn't. If you've got him on your roster, you got to try to win it every season he's left in the league. Yeah. So if you get into a play-in, you get AD back, you try to escape the play-in if you can, and then you go and do the best you can against one of those top three seeds.
You see that on your screen there. Only Kareem has played more minutes in their career if you include the regular season and the play. Let me ask you this, Jay. Because the most optimistic scenario for the Laker fan is you have LeBron rested and ready when you get to the postseason. Between now and then, you figure out some way to use Russell Westbrook more effectively than they have. And most importantly, you get back a healthy Anthony Davis. If those things happen, what is the ceiling in the postseason for the Lakers?
I'm laughing because you're like, if you find some way to activate Russell Westbrook.
I get it. I know. I understand.
They've had the whole season to activate Russell Westbrook. Frank Vogel has not been able to figure it out. That's what I'm saying, Greeny. Like, we always look at this as the pie in the sky scenario. This team has showed you who they are. Now, I know when AD comes back, there's a chance that all of a sudden there's a glimpse of hope, right? Because defensively, he brings a different mentality. But you still have to learn how to win with Russell Westbrook and LeBron James on the floor down the stretch.
Well, they haven't done that. So, let me paint the scenario for you, right? They get out of the play-in tournament, right? Jay's right. They're going to wind up in the play. They get out of the play-in.
Okay.
Golden State has been limping since they lost Draymond Green. Memphis is awesome, but they're super young. LeBron and Anthony Davis, could you see them winning a series against either of those two teams? Because that's who they would play.
I don't think they're beating any of those teams. They would have the best shot against Memphis. But let's be clear about one thing here. Minnesota and the Clippers are the two teams you're talking about they might have to play in the play-in. Right. They're 1-6 against those two teams.
No, I get it.
So they might not even get out of that. And if they do, they're not beating a Warriors team that's going to be probably 40% better than they are now, a month from now. And Chris Paul coming back with Phoenix, who'd been the best team in the league by far. Memphis would be the one team, and I only say that because they're young, going through it for the first time, playing LeBron on that stage. Maybe there's something there, but you can't favor the Lakers to come out of any of those series.
I understand what you're saying. We shouldn't expect them to get out of the play-in tournament. What Jay said is right. They're likelier to miss the play-in than they are to win anything beyond that. But they're the Lakers, and it's LeBron, so you always pay some attention. All right, guys, come with me. I want to have a different conversation. As I remind you, we got a good NBA doubleheader coming your way tomorrow night here on ESPN and the ESPN app. With the top teams in the NBA squaring off, the Suns and the Heat at 7:30 Eastern, then Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz taking on Portland. Coverage will start with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. So good hoops coming your way here on ESPN. Meanwhile, this to me is an enormous story for our time. Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley has been suspended for at least the entirety of the 2022 season after gambling on games last year. The league released a statement saying Ridley gambled on games over a five-day stretch in November when he was on the non-football injury list. He released a bunch of tweets that sort of explain his side of it, including saying, "I bet $1,500 total. I don't have a gambling problem." Also commented on suspension, saying, "I know I was wrong, but I'm getting 1 year, LOL," which I guess obviously he's suggesting he thinks that getting a year for that is too much. Now, and we bring Marcus in here as well. Look, for as long as I've been covering sports, and have been doing this long enough to have been covering this sport when Pete Rose was banished from the game, this has always been the ultimate sin. I mean, there is nothing worse you can do. But Dan Graziano, there are people, and I've seen it all over Twitter and all that, suggesting that in this new era, where our feelings about gambling have changed, where the legality of gambling has changed, where the business of gambling has become intertwined with sports leagues and teams, that maybe some of the ways these things are adjudicated need to adjust along with them. What did you hear from the league yesterday?
Well, look, the league has a monitoring service in place, and its gambling partners and the apps that people use to bet on will report suspicious activity to that monitoring service, and that's what happened here. Basically, he tried to place a bet from out of state, outside of Florida. It's legal in Florida, not legal where he was. And then so the app, Hard Rock, reported it to the NFL's monitoring service. They trace it back to Calvin Ridley's email address. The NFL finds out one of its players is betting on games. He is suspended. Now, the monitoring service is there because the league believes it's important that, A, their players do not bet on their games, and, B, no one thinks their players are betting on their games, right? So this is a way for saying, yes, we are monitoring this. If there is not going to be any sort of hanky-panky that can affect, you know, the outcome of our games and the bets you're placing on them. Mm-hmm. So this is, and the year suspension is a message to the rest of the players and team employees, coaches, et cetera, that this is, in case you weren't paying attention, when we tell you this multiple times a year, you can't bet on the game.
To be clear, the year is the minimum. He's suspended for at least a year, and we all know that Pete Rose is a lifetime ban from the sport. And I wanted to keep Legler and Jay Will with us as well, because this cuts across all sports. This is not unique to pro football. But Marcus, I will start with you. Because it did come from your sport. What is your reaction to this? What is your feelings about it? And what did you hear from the people you talked to yesterday?
Yeah, listen, the sentiment is what you just explained, G, and what Grimes talked about. This is the ultimate sin when it comes to professional sports, and we all know that. Now, idealistically, other things we see more egregious in the world outside of football, but the integrity of the game is stressed. From the time I was drafted until I went to Rookie Symposium, every single year that I was in the NFL, before betting and gambling became mainstream like it is now, we had talks about this. We had clear things that were told to us that we could not do to affect and impact the game betting-wise or gambling on the game. And here's the thing. This is the gist of why. Because you actually have an effect on the outcome. That's why it's severe. That's why the punishment is severe, whether that's good or bad. And I know what people are going to say, well, Calvin really was away from the team when he made these bets. That's not the point, people. The point is you do not, the leagues, they do not want players betting because outcomes are determined by these players' performances. And that in, therein lies the issue. Now, we can have a whole conversation about where we are now and how the betting and gambling has evolved into the sport and how it's become mainstream. And we all know what this boils down to, y'all. It's money. It's the evolution of sports. We all knew this was coming. Everybody that's sitting on that panel and me sitting in this screen talking, we knew betting was going to become mainstream with all of our professional leagues. But the bottom line is, when it infiltrates from a guy that actually participates, this is when the league takes their hard stance. And to your point, G, and I'm glad Legs and Jay Will is up there, it crosses all sports. The punishment, the type of vigor, and the severity would be the same whether it was basketball or baseball. And this is what it is.
That's right. And again, not Pete Rose, but we've seen it most recently in basketball where there is a history of a variety of different point shaving scandals and all that. We had the issue with the referee, Tim Donaghy, in recent years. So, Legs, when you saw this yesterday, as a guy who played in the league a long time, what was your reaction?
Yeah, I totally get it. I understand why the league reacted this way, particularly coming on the heels of a situation where you had a couple of coaches recently say that they were incentivized to lose. Okay, think about it. So now the perception that what you are watching as a fan may not be real. Regardless of whether Calvin Ridley bet on a game that he participated in or a teammate did or not and affected the outcome to line his pockets, which doesn't sound like that's what happened here, regardless, the perception that possibly what I am watching right now is not legitimate competition. And again, coming on the heels of what we just had happen in the NFL with those coaches making those accusations, couldn't come at a worse time for the league. And I understand the severity and why they put down such a heavy hammer.
Yeah, and so then, Jay, well, again, how about the people who will say, I want to make it clear, this is not my position, but the people are saying, well, this needs to be, they need to evolve with regards to that because gambling is more mainstream now. They themselves are in business with some of these, the gambling sites and things like that. So how can they X, Y, and Z? What do you say to those people?
I just feel like I'm about to say one of the realest things I've ever said in my life on this show, right? Because yesterday when I heard this news for the first time, I didn't think he deserved a year suspension for this. But when I see this and then I go and I think about larger issues, it really bothers me about the NFL. Because I'm sitting there saying, okay, you're going to suspend Calvin Ridley for a $1,500 parlay bet. But when there's a history of players having domestic violence, when you look at the history of the league, they only get suspended for six games. So the league values the bottom line of how it can affect their gambling relationships. But when you look at how the personal relationships of players in the league are affected, they don't value that as much. That's mind-blowing to me. That's bothersome for me with where we are in 2022. Like, this is the big story. I get it. But like, that's such egg on the face of the NFL. It blows my mind.
You're not the first person I've heard say that. I saw Ryan Clark tweeting things to that effect yesterday. Marcus, do I have to leave it there, guys? We're running out of time. I'm going to come back to this in our next hour because it's obvious. And you just brought up something we hadn't yet, and I'm glad you did because it is – all that is a part of this conversation. I promise we will come back to it. But I'm out of time for this moment here. I got to let Jay get back on the radio. As we continue here as well, Bill Belichick may be about to do something he's never done before, could have a huge impact on his team and everybody else. We'll tell you what that is. Is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and it's time for Get Your Eyes Checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Hey, Graziano, take a look at this. Jordan McLaughlin's got a steal, but he's got a problem. Oh, no! the mopping guys. That's the kind of thing that happens at pickup games, right? Like, you've got the guys out there, they're mopping on the floor.
Games. You don't get the mops at the pickup games. That's impressive.
Well, you're not playing in the right places.
Problem.
They'll mop your pickup games if you're playing in the right places. One way or another, someone needs to get their eyes checked. In the meantime, time for a new feature here. This is going to be called You Should Be Thirsty, and it features our man celebrating his birthday again, Marcus Spears. Now, I'm told this is your feature here, so what exactly is You Should Be Thirsty, Swagoo?
I be bringing the hood to get up, G. I be bringing the hood to get up, man. When you're thirsty, G, you got to get something to drink. And in the common man world, when you're thirsty, that means you're doing everything to get the girl, or she doing everything to get the guy. So you're thirsty. I got to have you to quench my thirst for you. So this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to tell y'all these free agents and the teams that should be thirsty. First and foremost, we going with Chandler Jones. And I'm going to blow people's mind with this one, G. I'm going Chandler Jones, and the Los Angeles Rams should be thirsty. Did they not see what Von Miller just did across from Aaron Donald? Do they need another prolific pass rusher to try to make a Super Bowl run? You got one. Why not try to go get two with another elite guy off the edge? And we know what Aaron Donald does for the guys around him. And think about this. Chandler Jones don't even need him. He can get to the quarterback all by himself. Mm. The Rams should be thirsty for Chandler Jones. Second, Hakeem Hicks. This dude should be ablaze on the free agent market. I know he's up there in years, but ultimately, the Los Angeles Chargers should be thirsty for Hakeem Hicks. They could not stop anybody last year on the ground, G. They couldn't stop the run. And in a division where you need to stop the run in order to rush the passer, and the big fella can get after the passer too, they need to explore Hakeem Hicks coming to the Chargers. And last but not least, I'm going to blow people mad with this one. Mm. You ready for your head to explode, G? Von Miller to the Kansas City Chiefs. They need pass rush. Frank Clark might be getting out of there. And Von coming fresh off of a Super Bowl dancing. I know he put up 52-80 talking about mile high. You know what else is mile high? All of them touchdowns that Patrick Mahomes going to throw and give you another opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Von could be a three-time Super Bowl champion, potentially, if he go to Kansas City. The Chiefs should be thirsty for that pass rush. I love this segment. It ain't going nowhere. We keeping this one.
Oh, I'm with you. It is a winner in every conceivable way. A, because I finally understand the derivation of that term, which I've been hearing for a while. And then yes. B, you know what you make me think of? Von Miller. Once upon a time, Deion Sanders was that guy. Wherever he would go, a championship would follow. Dallas,
Super
San Francisco.
Bowl, yep.
He was that kind of player. And Von Miller could wind up doing the same thing. I love it. Meanwhile, next up is New England, Swagoo, where, according to our Jeremy Fowler, there is an open belief league-wide that Bill Belichick could wind up being the one who calls the offensive plays this coming year, or at the very least, have more involvement in the offense. Remember, four offensive coaches have to be replaced after Josh McDaniels, who has been a mainstay there calling the plays, took a whole bunch of them with him to Las Vegas. And so, Nink, as our resident Patriot here, let me just get your thoughts. Belichick, he was a defensive genius before he became a head coach. Offensive play calling, do you think that works? Is it good or bad for Mac Jones? What do you think of Bill calling the plays?
Listen, it's great for Mac Jones. If you're Mac Jones and someone says you can sit next to Bill Belichick this whole season and he's going to explain you every single defense in front of you and you need to execute accordingly, it's going to be a great thing. I mean, Bill Belichick is the smartest head coach of all time. And guess what? He is like a blimp. He's above the stadium and he knows offense. He knows defense. He's been around the game so long. He knows every offensive play that they're calling when Josh was calling the plays. So he knows exactly what's going on. He could be the OC if he wants to. And if you're Mac Jones, to sit with Bill every single day, I mean, it can only help you in your career. So I think that it would be a win for the Patriots, but they need to find some young talent in the coaching ranks to try and come in and be underneath Bill so he can learn and listen, and then he can move up the ladder, so to speak, because he can't do it all. Bill can't do everything. So, you know, if he was going to be the OC this year, I think it makes sense because you have a second-year quarterback in Mac Jones, and to help him and to teach him everything that you know, I think that would help.
It's interesting to me that they go that way, but if we look up and down the staff, yep. they didn't really have a lot of options, yes?
Right. So someone who knows Belichick once told me that one of his things is he wants to have like six or eight coaches that he completely trusts mm-hmm. and build everything off of that. You know, McDaniel's obviously in that circle. But if you look at their offensive coaching staff right now with what's left, it's Ivan Fears, the running backs coach, who's been there 25 years. Joe Judge, who was the special teams coordinator before he just spent 2 years with the Giants as head coach, and then some inexperienced guys. So there really is nobody. He's not going to hire somebody from the outside to put a new offense in. That's just not how he operates. So, yeah, I think it's a situation like Ninko said, where maybe there's somebody on that offensive staff that can train as a play caller and do it down the road. But the key thing with Bill is, why is he sleeping?
Well, have we lost Swagoo? I think Marcus just contemplated the possibility of Joe Judge being the offensive play caller for the Giants for the Patriots, and what offensive plays he might dial up after his stint in New York. Is that what has you making that expression, Swagoo?
Gee, that's one of them. That's one of them. Listen, Joe Judge being on your staff may be good if you never hear his name or see him, okay? But I don't know what the hell Ninko is talking about. Let me tell you something, bro. I played for Nick Saban. He is one of the greatest coaches ever. He ain't calling no damn offensive plays. He ain't going to be the offensive coordinator. Bill Belichick is going to figure out somebody to call plays. I know I'm not sitting on Get Up. And Nink just said Bill Belichick is going to be the OC. No way, no how.
I didn't say that. I did not say that. Okay, you're putting words in my mouth now.
What did you say?
Listen,
you're putting
words. I said that if he was sitting with Bill every day, I said that if Bill was to be sitting next to Mac Jones every single day in his second year, showing him the defenses that Mac Jones is seeing as a quarterback, you're looking at defenses, and Bill's breaking them down, saying, listen, that's cover two, that's three, this is five, this is six, this is one, this is zero, this is where you go with the ball, this is where you go with the ball. And he has implements on everything. He controls the defense, the special teams, the offense. Some coaches don't do that. Some coaches are just defensive guys. Some coaches are
philosophically,
just offensive guys. Bill,
philosophically Bill Belichick is
runs everything.
Involved in offense.
He runs everything.
He ain't calling no plays.
I'll go get my rings. I'll show you how they look, too, because guess what? It's not just this is what Bill is going to do. I didn't say Bill was going to be the OC. When I was the starting defensive outside linebacker for the Patriots, guess what? We didn't have a defensive coordinator. You know who it was? It was Bill, but he didn't name it. They might not have a named offensive coordinator, but there's going to be a lot of influence
from the same coaching tree. He's going to go drop his rings on Marcus on Marcus's birthday. This is not nice. I've gone to a break. Hold on. Coming up, does Aaron Rodgers need to make his decision right this minute? We'll get to that in just a moment. We're spirited today.